Thank you for listening to Ivy Podcast, where we feature weekly leadership conversations with thought leaders and industry experts. Now, here is your host, John Karsibayev.
Hi, John. My name is Carter Bussey. I'm the CIO at Workato.
Carter, thanks so much for making time to join us on Ivy Podcast on this Monday afternoon. Before we get into, I want to learn a little bit more about Workato, your current role and area of responsibility. But give us a thumbnail version of your career to date.
Yeah, thumbnail version is, I'll start back. Grew up outside Chicago, school at SMU in Dallas. Got a job at Anders Consulting out of college, and they brought me out to the Bay Area, fell in love with the Bay Area and the internet.com boom back in the day, joined the At Home Network, merged with Excited Home, and then went over to Salesforce for 10 years, ran everything in IT at Salesforce, and then went to Mobile Iron, 8x8, Cohesity, and now I'm the CIO at Workato, but IT throughout my career.
Well, that's super exciting. And thanks for that very diverse background overview. It's super exciting. So fast forward, you're at Workato. Tell us a little bit more about the company and then we'll talk about your role.
Sure. So Workato, it's a combination of two words. It stands for it's a combination of work and automation. So Workato. And we are one platform for integration and work automation across the enterprise.
Well, that's, you know, very simple, self-explanatory. I love that description because a lot of times on the side, I also do a lot of angel investments into startups and I hear a lot of pitches and a lot of, you know, presentations and always the challenge, how do you succinctly describe yourself in the matter of like a shorter than one sentence, which I think I may use your example. As,
well, thank you.
As a way to do that very successfully. So you've been in tech for most of your career, obviously now with Workato as well, you're overseeing the technology piece of this. Tell us a little bit more about what falls under your purview and where you're taking the company to.
Yeah, you know, John, I have kind of two roles here. This is nice. I make sure that Workato leverages the best technology to move our company forward. We are moving incredibly fast. We have great momentum across not only mainly people we sell to in IT, but also across the business. So we have great momentum and technology internally, but also what's the best use of Workato across our business, right? Because we want to be that model IT department. I actually call it business technology here. Business technology, we want to be a model business technology department to automate our entire, all of our work internally. So that's one of my roles, use our technology internally. But also secondly, I also work closely with our partners and customers and how do we internally leverage Workato, but also to help them build this automation mindset that we're trying to promote across our customer base.
Right. And yeah, very exciting in terms of, I love how you framed that from a business technology perspective, that it's at the end of the day, it's a partnership that you know, traditionally we're used to hearing and perceiving technology as you know, not as a cost center, but something that you go to when you need something. But being that strategic partner, I think that's exactly the way to frame this as. So from a standpoint of, I spend a lot of time talking to other executives on the podcast, different size of companies. And, you know, as we're all coming out of pandemic and, you know, going into this new period, so to say, it's always one prevalent topic that always comes up is around, how do you structure your operations, you know, these days, whether you continue with some type of a hybrid model or you try to bring everybody on site. Obviously, that creates also a lot of anxiety amongst the employees. So a lot of executives, you know, some questions that I always hear is, John, what are other executives doing with other companies? What are some of the things that they're encountering? So I love to get your two cents on from that perspective. How are you prepping your division, your organization for that? What are the different strategies that you think may help you, you know, at the end of the day, smooth that transition over?
Sure. So, great question. We're all thinking about this, and I'm part of a couple IT leadership groups who we meet monthly, and the topics of the meetings are like, get back to what? So I think it's all a bit wait and see, right? We are actually opening an office today. I'm not there. I've had other, colleagues open their offices up with t-shirts and snacks, but very little people came back. Our surveys are telling us that roughly 80% of our employee base wants to come back between 2 to 3 days a week. So they want a very flexible schedule. There was very few people offer it said 5 days a week. We were very remote before the pandemic. And what we're finding is we are going to probably have more offices, but smaller offices. In fact, in the Bay Area where we're headquartered in Mountain View, we might have we're gonna have three offices now. We're gonna keep the Mountain View office, we're gonna have Santa Cruz, and then we're gonna have San Francisco. So smaller offices to get groups and teams together when they want to. Because we're an automation company, what's the strategy for this? Is we actually used our own tool, Workato, to build that that's a sign up to go into the office. You can actually, we use a Slack bot where you say, yes, I want to go to the office on this day. And I actually upload your COVID card to it. And you actually have to sign a county waiver. We'll upload that through our product into Workato and then to Slack. And then you reserve your space and you actually reserve an actual seat in the office. So we're actually using our own automation to do that. And actually, I'd like to show you, we actually hooked this Slack bot up to Alexa. Mm-hmm. And so we were trying to bring it to, like, you know, where all these great products are that we use it in our home every day. We're actually trying to make it a lot easier for our staff to sign up to go in the office. So if I could show you a brief demo of that.
Yeah.
So this is actually with Workato into this bot we use. So I can say, hey, Alexa, ask Office Bot, how many people are going to the...
Welcome. What do you want to ask Office Bot?
Alexa, ask Office Bot, how many people are in the Mountain View office tomorrow?
There will be 42 people going to the Mountain View office on June 15th, 2021.
Well, there's 40 people going to the office tomorrow. That's a lot. Alexa, ask Office Bot, is my boss going to the office tomorrow?
Welcome. What do you want to ask Office Bot?
Is my boss going to the office tomorrow?
Mm-hmm.
She's not working for me. Alexa, ask Office Bot, is my boss going to the Mountain View office tomorrow?
Yes, Vijay is going to the Mountain View office on June 15th, 2021.
42 people going to the office. My boss is there. Alexa, ask Office Bot to reserve me a space in the office tomorrow.
I can reserve a slot for you at the SF, SG, MV, Denver, or Barcelona office. Which would you like?
Mountain View.
Carter, your space is reserved in the Mountain View office on June 15th, 2021.
So that's super cool. Just a quick note for our audio listeners, what Carter was basically doing is just holding an Alexa device and just asking away as they connected that to, you mentioned to Asana to create that workflow?
No, to Workato, our product, Workato. And then actually attached to our HR database, knowing who's my boss, and mm-hmm. then a database that we're keeping in actually Snowflake that tracks who's going to the office and when.
Right. Wow, that's super cool. Super exciting. Thanks for that demo. Definitely probably going to get a lot of requests from other executives to demo something like this, which is super exciting.
Yeah, but let me go. Let me, I'm sorry to interrupt you, but what I think we'll have this, but I think what could bring people back is this, is my idea of like subscribing to somebody. So mm-hmm. I want to know, hey, is John going to the office? Well, if John goes to the office tomorrow, I want to know that, right? Or if the marketing department, if someone in the marketing department is going to go, I want to know that. I'm in IT. Right. I want to know when people go to the office because everyone's my customer. So I think we're going to start putting that idea of a subscribing to people or a group.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So start bringing people back in the office.
That's great. I love that. Which leads me, you couldn't have set me up any better for the next question I want to ask you about innovation, because obviously, you know, simple hack like this is very innovative in the sense to be able to streamline certain operations or processes. What are some of the other strategies and recommendations or anything that you have utilized in the past or even in your current role that really help, you know, you to build and foster that culture of innovation?
Yeah. And you hit it on before, the history of IT, where IT had to control everything, right? We had to control the applications. We did all the development. That's changing. That's changing fast. And I've slowly changed throughout the probably the last decade, from controlling all the applications like Salesforce and NetSuite and all these business applications. And now you can't innovate fast enough. IT can't innovate fast enough. BT team can't innovate fast enough. So I think one of the big things is giving control to these applications to the business with guardrails. And so that's what we're really trying to leverage internally, is just having this, what we call citizen developers, IT, across the business and not just in IT. And so it's really creating that partner, the friendly business with the partner, right? We're really having a strategic relationship with that business partner and allowing them to create and modify these applications to their liking, and you'll innovate faster. So that I'm trying to create an IT department, a BT department around how do we foster innovation across the business with and leveraging those resources across the business, but yet make sure we have those guardrails by putting the changes into production and making sure we're following the same architecture. So that's the kind of, instead of me staffing a big group of application business analysts and developers, I'm going to have probably a very small team, right? But leverage the business because they want to do their own innovation. And how do I put an architecture in place so they can actually do their innovation? I can put it into production and feel safe about it.
Mm-hmm. Right. No, that's definitely interesting because at the end of the day, it's, you know, the whole overall concept of experimentation, I think, is very interesting to me. When we talk about innovation, which seems like what you were talking about, taking those smaller steps and not necessarily treating innovation from the overall kind of groundbreaking ideas, but also looking at opportunities to improve on a much smaller scale, iterating, right, and looking at the results. I think that's very interesting. When we've seen this great kind of trend that's been on the rise, especially the last couple of years, and pandemic really fast-tracked that, the overall future of work, when we'll look at, you know, the freelancers, gig workers, contingent workforce in general, what I want to get your opinion on is, where do you see this trend going? Because a lot of companies want that flexibility to be able to scale up or down, unfortunately, at some situations. And utilizing workforce trends such as future of work is an interesting area. How do you think about that concept?
You asked me pre-pandemic, and I was a bit old school. Everyone's in the office. I want to talk to them every day. I want to see people in the office working with the business. I've completely done a 180 on that. I can't believe how not only productive I've been at home, even with my three young kids in the background most of the time, but my entire team is productive. They seem happier. And I am very open to hiring people part-time. We signed up with a group called the Mom Project, a part-time. It's a group, it's a nonprofit group that helps women who have had children and they're home moms, or they're all very professional moms. And we have one helping us part-time with our knowledge base, and it's working great. And I would have never thought about doing that pre-pandemic. So I only see the future of these contingent workers working. I work any hours, splitting up our tasks or our projects into bite-sized chunks to be able to use some of these contingent workers to do some of these projects.
Right. No, those are initiatives are very interesting. When we talk about overall trends, and they don't necessarily have to be within your industry, share with us, what are you most excited about these days? What are you researching? Any trends that look more interesting than the others to you?
Yeah, I think you might have saw one of mine is using these consumer tools to really to improve the work-life balance of people in the office. That's the trends I really like to see about. Like, for example, turn on my sprinklers with my phone. Those are personally things that excite me. And I really want to, I try to bring those to our business and try to make, what tools can we put in place to give our business users tools to allow them to automate their process, to innovate. So I always look for those tools that are and applications that make it easy for our business users.
Right. No, that's great. So as an executive for your organization, I'm pretty sure that surrounding yourself with an exceptional, you know, professionals is at the top of your mind, probably 24/7, whether you're actively recruiting or not. You know, at least for me, anytime I meet somebody, I can't help myself but always think about, is this the person that I would want to either work with or work for? share with us your thoughts on talent acquisition in general, because it's been such an interesting market, especially these days with so much demand and just war for talent out there being real. What are some of the strategies that really help you succeed in the space of talent acquisition?
Sure. You know, again, this is one of those, my eyes have been opened since COVID. And in the past, I'd have a traditional IT department with expertise across development and architects. I came to Workato 3 months ago, and my entire team is, there are 15 people on my team today. And the entire team's in Singapore and the Philippines. Everybody is under 27. It's their first job out of college. They're all millennials. And they have been incredibly empowered by our own product internally to automate the entire business. And also we've had younger people in the company who have actually using Workato and using Salesforce and Guru and Gong to actually automate our business. So what I'm finding is that if you give tools that are easy to use, that are almost consumer friendly to younger people, they are incredibly empowered and can do incredible things and just let them fly. So my mindset's changed a bit about who I hire and when I hire. And what I'm looking for probably as I start growing my team, as we're growing rapidly, is maybe hiring more architects to help us architect the how we're going to use Workato, how we're going to use NetSuite, how we're going to use Salesforce, and then let the younger generation build to that architecture. And I feel like we'll innovate faster. I really do.
Right. No, it's we could probably spend the rest of the episode talking about this. But also to take that a little bit further, when we talk about war for talent, on the other spectrum is kind of that war on retention is also real, because organizations who are not capable of finding, you know, new talent also look at other organizations where they can see who may be interested in joining their company. What are some of your thoughts around retention? How do you build that environment that really fosters
retention? Retention is such a hot topic right now, isn't it?
Yeah.
With people come out of the pandemic and they realize they can be anywhere, and it's a hot topic. And I'm fortunate enough to be at a company that's doing really well. We have great momentum, so definitely that helps. And number two is for retention. When I lead people, I really want to give them a sense of ownership, right? Give them something to own, something big to own, and let me remove their blockers. And let me have their backs. And I think if you show somebody that you have their back and you take down the blockers or the roadblocks for them, they'll want to stay. And give them something that they can put on their resume. And that's why I constantly say to someone who I challenge and I ask them to lead something big. I said, listen, you know, you might not be here 2 or 3 years from now, but imagine putting this on your resume. Imagine putting this project on your resume and how it'll help you grow and your leadership potential. So think about it like that. And I think that if you have their back that way, and I think that shows that you have their back and and they'll stay with you.
Right. No, you know, walking the walk at the end of the day and showing genuine interest in other people's, you know, goals, objectives, or whatever the case may be. I think it's very simple that oftentimes overlooked strategy when it comes to retention. So while we're on that subject, interviewing is also an area where I continuously struggle. I'm yet to meet anybody who is really good at interviewing. It's such a, you know, combination of art and a science that it's very difficult to master. So as you know, you as an executive, I'm sure candidates go through multiple rounds of assessments, you know, panel interviews, all of that great stuff. When they get in a room with you for an interview, give us an insight into interview with Carter. What does that look like? And more importantly, what do you look for in some of our responses and how do you facilitate that?
Sure. I have a different interview style depending on the role. So if I'm interviewing with like a management position, like director and up, I want them to walk me through your career from your university days all the way through your career and why you made the move that you did and why you chose that company or Tell me about a project on that I caught in the resume. So I want them to actually walk me through how they got to where they are, because I get a sense of their mindset. I get a sense of where they want to take their career. I get a sense of, did they think through where they want to be in life? I'm a big believer in having a plan. And I can walk you through my resume. I feel like you can see progression in my career. I made certain choices in my career to get to where I am today. I'm very grateful for that. So that's a management interview. I have them walk me through their career. An individual, I think you've probably heard, it's called situational interviews, where I try to explain a challenge we're having internally at this, or my current job. And I said, listen, can you tell me a time where you had a similar challenge? I want to walk through this in detail. And I tell them, I may interrupt you quite a bit during this interview, because I want to really understand what your role was in the situation and how you made it successful or how you came over a failure. And so if I have a 45 minute interview, I'll go into one situation for about 25 minutes and dig down deep and really try to get to know that person. And that's how I do the individual interviews. But what I look for is a potential for leadership. I'm always looking for leaders, even if it's a frontline desktop support person. I want to see leadership. And I see that in if they have great ideas and they're pushing their ideas across their past life. I'm looking for grit, right? they've been there, done that. They've had some failures. They've overcome them. I'm a big believer in attitude. And you know what? If I talk to somebody and I'm going to go have a beer with them, that's who I want to work with. I want to work with people who I really tend to want to enjoy when I'm spending time with personally.
Right. No, I love that. Because it's, creating that environment of, a platform of a two-way street conversation that is not necessarily an opportunity for hiring manager to ask all the questions, but also really provide an avenue, an opportunity for the candidate to really get to know you better as well. Because for them to make that a determination, if your leadership style or just the things that you subscribe to really resonate with what I'm trying to do, where I'm trying to go, and if this is the right environment, I think that definitely resonates, which exactly what you were talking about. I love that approach. One book that I always mention on the podcast that's, on my desk is the, by Ben Horowitz, The Hard Thing About the Hard Things. And he talks a lot about kind of the interview concept over there is hiring for strength versus the lack of weakness, which kind of the trap that a lot of us fall into. So those are just some of the examples kind of what you're talking about.
Yeah, I always try to up the bar of the team. And I want to hire people who are smarter and better than me. I really do. I love to be challenged in interviews. If they challenge me in questions, I love that.
Yep. Absolutely. No, that's a great framework to look at that. So with the other portion of our listeners are early stage career professionals, second year MBAs, those entering workforce early stage. And quite a few questions that we always get from that segment of the audience is from, number one, the reason they love the podcast is because they get to hear directly from the practitioners in this space. And some of the questions we get is if Carter was to give an advice to a 21-year-old Carter, given what you know now in terms of what skills to invest in or where, the trajectory of the career to take into, I realize it's a very loaded question, but talk to us a little bit from that perspective. What were some of the things you would highlight?
Yeah, if you're 21 and just or out of college or graduate school, I think number one thing is people skills in business, being able to work across personalities, being able to bring people together on a subject that we all agree on, but trying to find a consensus across that group, I think is incredibly important. I've learned more how to do that later in my life. And I wish I learned some of those tasks earlier. So definitely the people skills are number one. Number two is being ready for change and making quick pivots, right? Especially in the last, I've been in out of school for 20 plus years. I'm not going to go with an exact number, but there were very few changes and pivots in technology and business decisions back in the day. With the speed and pace we're moving now, you may be doing something one week, product strategy, but then you get something else on the next week, and be ready for that, and be flexible. and just get through that with a great attitude, because that's what we all need to pivot and change quickly in this. I live in this high tech barrier bubble, and there is constant change, constant pivots that you just got to be able to keep up with a great attitude. And even I work for the CEO, and it feels like every week I'm doing some different pivot, but hey, I think he's right. A lot of times he's right.
Right. No, I love that advice. And, you know, definitely appreciate you being able to come up with somewhat of a concise response, because I realize how loaded that, you know, the question is. And in a sense, so being in technology for quite some time, I'm sure you've seen the industry go through different pivots, different changes. And in terms of the skill set that's required to stay ahead of the curve is also very important when it comes to technology. What are some of the things, you know, areas where you see a lot of opportunity when it comes to specific technical skills to invest in?
Yeah, forward? I hear you. Let me talk a bit about myself first. Mm-hmm. I ran every facet of IT at Salesforce, every facet, from the credit card system to take credit cards, to the phone system, to the data warehouse, everything. I was very reactionary and just kind of following orders for 10 years. And not until I got a job at Mobile Iron and the CEO, Bob Tinker, asked me, "Hey, Carl, we have this idea of business operations. We need you to automate the business for us. We're growing like crazy. We need to automate the business." And that was, I actually got to learn the business, everything from how do we market to get the leads in the door, to work the opportunities, to close the business, to provision the business, then we support a customer. This is where IT and professionals need to get their heads around, is how does a business run? But the great thing I love about this role is I get to see the entire business, and I get to work with all those business leaders on how to make them better every day. So I think if you're coming out and you want to get into IT leadership role, is understanding every facet of a business.
Right. No, I love that advice. And last but not least, this, you know, the last portion of each episode, I love to focus on the sources that you utilize on a daily basis for learning, self-actualization.
Yeah.
Your overall content diet. Give us a insight into that, because with so much information being thrown at us, it's the strategies on how to be very selective, where you let your mind be exposed to. I'm very interested in that.
Right. I have a couple networks in the Bay Area. We meet monthly, and there's about 60 IT leaders in these groups. And that's where I get the biggest source of information. Not only in the monthly and sometimes weekly meetings, but also in a Slack channel. We obviously Slack channels. Those are my trusted advisors for my technology decisions, maybe some governance thing we have to do. So that's where I find that. I tend to have some newsletters I go to, some go-to newsletters, SEO Dive. I read quite a bit. And that's really, it's people and a couple of newsletters is what I do for my technology news. If I read something, I try to read non-technology, and I try to read fun things so I can just kind of let my mind go. I have three young kids, like I said, and work is a big workload. So when I read, it's not technology, not business related. I have to let my mind go a bit.
Of course, I can definitely resonate with that. So when it comes to what are you reading right now, share with us any books that are really standing out. And is there a book that you always recommend to others, and why is that?
Oh, wow. What am I reading right now? I'm reading a book. It's in my bedroom. I just started it. It's about a psychologist who was in the German concentration camps. It's very famous. I should know off the top of my head, so I'm not sorry, I don't remember it. What I recommend in getting into the world of IT is Mark Settle's book. Mark Settle is a 7-time CEO, and he wrote a book about IT and IT leadership. And he's actually a mentor of mine. So I highly recommend that book. He puts IT and running IT in a very pragmatic way. Mm-hmm. And there's no theory. So it's like, here's what happens. Here's what's going to happen. And here's what you do to be successful. Mm-hmm. So Mark Settle wrote a couple of great books now around IT leadership.
Oh, that's great. I love those recommendations. Definitely going to add it to my growing list of books that I continue reading. And for our listeners. We'll add those recommendations to the episode notes. Carter Kim, thank you enough for your time today. It was very short but insightful conversation. Personally learned quite a bit. What I love doing with all the guests is do a follow-up episode in about a year, see how much of change transpired, revisit the conversation from a year ago and see if everything we talked about still makes sense.
Okay.
Thanks so much, Carter.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the Ivy Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to our RSS feed on ivypodcast.com and all major podcasting platforms like Spotify and iTunes. As always, if you enjoyed this podcast, please give us a rating on iTunes.